Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are indeed tonight's entertainment. Welcome to a special edition of Proteus' Primetime Show. Tonight, what we're going to do on a different night than we usually do this show, on a Monday night and not a Thursday, so just keep that in mind, everybody. There will be no Thursday Proteus' Primetime Show because we're doing it tonight, y'all. So tonight we'll be covering the events, recap the events of UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Brown. Tonight, I am lucky enough to be joined by Showtime from Tennessee. You know our boy, at Ramundo. Ryan Moody, at Shutdown Safety. You know him from our Sunday show, yesterday's show, This Week in MMA. And hopefully, we will also be joined by at Lionheart Smith, you know, Anthony Smith from yesterday's show. Hopefully, we'll catch him at the end of his training schedule. If not, that's fine, too. You know, guys, on this show, as we like to say, sometimes life gets in the way. And I heard from a little bird that perhaps Pam from North Carolina is going to weigh in a little bit and, you know, gawk over her Spartan. Anyways, let's go ahead and bring in the boys. I'm going to bring in my boy, the man who puts the show in time, Showtime from Tennessee.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Know when to fold up.
Know when to walk away. Know when to run. Know when to run.
Good evening, Showtime. How
fellas?
Are you?
Oh, man, I'm blessed.
We are doing
blessed.
Good. Good, good.
Blessed.
Let's go ahead and bring in the other co-host that, as I mentioned at the top, Mr. Ryan Moody.
Well, it certainly is hard to follow up that song, and obviously there's no part for me to sing, but nevertheless, we do have a great night of fights to recap, including some really dramatic fights, and obviously UFC put on a really good card.
And really, Ryan, let's cut to the chase. A lot better night of fights than the previous night, right?
Well, that could have been at any Denny's parking lot, to be quite honest with you.
All right, so that little bird on my shoulder has showed up. So let's bring her in, the life of the party, Pam from North Carolina.
Hey, everyone.
Good evening,
hello.
Pam.
How's everybody?
We are doing well collectively. We've already said all that to each other. We are doing well. So, Pam, we're here to recap last night's UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Brown. And as Ryan Moody and I were saying, you were on the line, a much better fight, a night of fights than we had on Bellator the previous night. I was pretty impressed, you know, with the main card 100%. I mean, I caught a couple of fights on the Fight Network and the UFC Fight Night or Fight Pass prelims. I'm just reading from the Canadian website, guys, so that's why it sounds funny to you. But we're not gonna get into that. I want all of you quickly to put a quick fight of the night, or that's not on the main card, or something that from the prelims that you thought was very exciting, or that you just want to talk about. You thought was a talking point. So keep that in your mind brain for now. But we're gonna start with Showtime from Tennessee. Showtime, we're going to get into Felder versus Ricci. And if I was DJ Tony right now, I would be playing the Tale of the Tape music, but I'm not. So, Showtime, let's start with you. What did you think about this fight? Because I thought it was, you know, a pretty good fight. I mean, Felder clearly took over, but what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good fight, too. I was just really interested how Ricci would look with you know, he had been training at Mayweather's gym, so with his boxing, and I think Felder actually used his strategy against him a little bit. I liked the elbows and all that. It was a darn good fight, but we knew what we were going to get from Felder. I mean, he never fights in a foreign fight, regardless if he wins or not. So I think it was more on the other gentleman of us wondering what we were going to get out of him. And he just got hurt, man. That's the thing about that sport, man. When you get hurt and you get hurt badly, it's hard to, you know, to bounce back from it.
Yeah, and I mean, Moody, let's go right to you. I mean, this is the performance of the night winner. I mean, that elbow to finish the fight just looked super painful to me. And of course, if something like that, tragic like that happens, I mean, like Showtime just said, the fight's over. So let's get your thoughts on the fight right now.
Well, I thought Paul Felder is a great fighter. He really came into his own in the UFC. He's a little bit older, a little bit long in the tooth. I think they made some references during the broadcast. But this is also a guy that, if you go back to the Toronto fight, had a giant gash in his eye probably about 6 or 8 months ago in a fight that I thought he was winning there. So this would truly be, you know, four straight for him and not under light opponents. You know, Josh Berkman, Darren Cruikshank. So to me, not really getting the name recognition that I think the UFC could provide him. Probably not the most well-known from a fan's perspective, a casual fan's perspective, but Paul Felder is definitely on the rise, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him on some more fight, UFC, like the Fox Fight Night. I'm glad to see him on the main card. That's a good thing to get him spotlighted like that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he had been touted for a long time as a great prospect, and then, you know, everybody runs into the losing streaks or whatever, what have you. And, you know, even if you lose one in the UFC, you know, you get two wins, and then luckily he's got this win again, but you always want to get off that losing streak. And Pam, let's throw it to you to get your comments on this fight, because I know you were watching.
I was watching. Well, Paul Felder is my favorite ginger. And you know what, I was kind of surprised, actually, that his fight was ranked so low on the card. I think that his fight should have been put in place of the Cecilia Tucker fight. I was just, like I said, really just surprised how low on the card that it was, because Paul Felder's been around for a while. He's a really fun fighter to watch, very exciting. And it just surprised me that it was, I guess, ranked that low. I think it should have been like the number three fight after my guy, Elias.
I think that it was in that position for a reason. I think, Pam, that we knew that it was probably going to be a little bit of a stand-up war, and we would get, you know, we didn't know that we were going to get what we got, but, I mean, that's the kind of fight that you want to start off any kind of main event with. Am I wrong, Showtime? I mean, it was a very good fight and very competitive. And then, you know, like you said, just got caught, and it's a tough sport.
Yeah, very tough sport, man. I kind of knew what I was going to get from Felder, though. Just think, he never lets us down, you know, with that. I thought I would get a little bit more from Richie, though, but, you know, it is what it is. That's why they put on those 4 ounce gloves and go in there. That's why we love this sport, because you never know what's going to happen, man. And I think a lot of guys actually betted against Felder from what I was looking at. Just looking online, I saw several guys that were taking the dog. So
yep.
It is what it is, man. I love the fight, though. And I agree with Pam of how low it was on the, you know, the card. But just like you said, man, you want, when people tune in, you want some action. You don't want to just have a lay and pray fight opening up everything. You know, sometimes that'll make somebody.
Now, Ryan, unless you have something else to say about that fight, I would like to move on to the Sarah McMahon versus Gina Manzani fight. My opinion of this going in, Ryan, it was that, and if you listen to the Smack My Picks Up show before this fight card, I think a lot of us were saying this, that this was kind of a lopsided match. I don't want to say too much on it because I want to get your point of view on this fight. So why don't you go ahead and bring us into this fight and break it down for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly as you said to me, if you look at any fight that was going to be really lopsided, it was this one. I don't sometimes understand what the UFC's logic is, you know, bringing in these newcomers and putting them up against, you know, maybe a veteran, but somebody that just has a world of experience. I mean, we're talking about in Sarah McMahon, you know, a girl that's 2 years removed from, you know, fighting Amanda Nunes, Misha Tate, probably 3 years out from Rousey. So she's been in there with the epitome of the highest level in this sport over the past 3 years. Apart from that, I mean, she's got a record of, you know, world Olympic medals that, you know, rival any male athlete in the UFC as well. So why they elect to do this, I just don't know. I think when you look at the ground game in the UFC, there's always such a giant disparity. You can really tell when somebody can get outclassed right away. And to me, it was just a textbook arm triangle. And that's it. She just choked her out. It was a minute to go. I think it was the first time she had her down on the ground. I don't like seeing those fights. You can't hurt a young fighter like that and damage their brand by putting them in with somebody they're not ready for. And what has Sarah McMahon gained from this? Not much. You know, everyone expected her to win. It would have been a giant upset if she lost. But this isn't even like a feather in her cap. This isn't a fight that can get her back in contention to anything because, quite frankly, like you said, there was really no real point of that.
Yeah, and Ryan, I think mainly what the UFC was thinking here, or sorry, let me rephrase that. I think the best look that Sarah McMahon came out of this fight was what we saw at the end of the fight, how she handled, you know, dealing with the fighter who clearly was outclassed, clearly, like 100%. I mean, that if you listen to the Joe Rogan Experience and you listen to the Fight Companion, they break it down very well how swiftly and how smoothly Sarah moved into that position and got the submission. But I thought it was very classy of her to do and to say what we think she was saying to Gina. And I'm going to move on to Pam, the life of the party, because I want to get your opinion on this fight. I mean, two female fighters, one clearly outclassed, and I thought Sarah handled herself very well in the win and kind of boosted in a way. And I saw a picture of them on Twitter today, you know, together embracing each other, kind of boosting her spirits. So let's move to you, Pam, and give us a breakdown on the fight. And then, of course, what you think about what I've just been saying about how well she handled it.
Well, I think, to me, this is kind of like a flupper fight. And because clearly when we did our picks, I had Sarah McMahon first round submission. And Gina, who she's a striker, and she was not ready and did not have the experience for a world-class wrestler. And, you know, Sarah had nothing to lose. I mean, you know, she got a win, which looks good on her record, but you know, I did think it was very classy of her, though. I'm sure she gave some words of wisdom and some words of confidence to Gina, but it's almost like all of us knew what was going to happen, and I was kind of glad. I'm like, okay, this fight's going to be over. Let's go, because I was ready, you know, to watch some other fights. But it's kind of like everybody knew that she was going to win, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a fluffer. It was a fluffer.
That.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I know where you're going. And of course, as I'm going to throw to Showtime for Tennessee, he drops out because apparently he's got the worst cell service in the world. So,
oh, goodness.
Unless we have anything more to say about that fight, Ryan, do you have anything more to say about that? I mean, I think we covered it. You know what I mean? It was just clearly class.
We covered it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So let's move on to the one fight that Pam really, really cared about on this fight, let's be honest.
Let me get a drink.
Elias Theodoro versus Cesar Ferreira. Tony has been trying to teach me how to speak Portuguese, but it's not working well for my tongue, unfortunately. So, Pam, let's throw it to you because, like I said, you... you've got a vested interest in this fight, and of course, we're just going to let Careless Whisper run while you talk.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, in my picks, I had picked, I'll say it the Canadian way, Elias. you know, even though that kills me to say it that way.
You're almost
I had picked Elias as
you're
a second
there.
Round TKO. I was imagining, or I was thinking, you know, first round would be a warm up and second round TKO. But Cesar, I mean, he surprised me with those takedowns, and I was with those rear naked chokes, man. I was on pins and needles there. I think, you know, cardio was good for both of them. But I think, and I hope, and I wish, that Elias needs to work a little bit more on his speed and some boxing. I would like to see him do more striking, more so than the leg kicks, because he's got the size and the build to be a good striker, and he's got the reach, so I wish he would work on that, and of course, he's got that great hair.
Of course, of course. So I just want to take this opportunity before I throw it back to Ryan Moody, and we can shut this careless whisper off now because Pam's done. We do have Showtime from Tennessee back, and I believe we also have, and I'll bring him in right now quickly just to say hello, I believe we have Anthony Smith at Lionheart Smith. Are you there, Anthony?
I am. How are you guys doing?
We are doing
good.
Well. Thank you very much for asking. We are balls deep already in this card. We are already up to Elias Theodora versus Cesar Fierro. We're going to move on to Ryan Moody. Moody, why don't you go ahead and give us your breakdown of the fight? And I mean, look, great fight. I thought it was an excellent fight. I mean, up until the end, until it ended, it was very competitive. And, you know, I thought a very good fight and a very good showing for Elias.
Well, I personally thought it could have went either way. I don't know who scored this a 30-27. I was really surprised Theodore kept the pace up the entire fight. I thought Cesar would go for more takedowns, and I'm sure Anthony is much better versed in Cesar than I ever will be. But, you know, he really did look like he lost some cardio. I thought he looked flat, especially in the third. And traditionally, you know, I was amazed that this fight with the UFC and the Ultimate Fighter wasn't pushed hot more than it was, being as even in the fight they build it as the Ultimate Fighter versus the Ultimate Fighter winners, but a very close competitive match. Again, you know, like I said, I'm not sure where the 30-27 came in. I actually saw it for Cesar, but you know, obviously crowds can be swaying very easily, and I guess Theodoro you know, got the win based on more than anything where he resides.
Oh, are you saying that it was a hometown advantage? Because, you know, that was what I was afraid of when I was picking this fight. And everybody was like, ooh, you didn't pick the Canadian, you Canadian fella. And I was, you know, I'm just trying to pick who I think is going to be the winner of this fight. And I thought Cesar had a very good chance. I thought he you know, is a very talented fighter. And I thought it was a good test for both fighters. But as Moody had alluded to, let's throw right to Anthony real quick, and Showtime, I'm coming to you right after this. You know, Moody had alluded to the fact that you would have more experience with this fellow than we would. So let's throw it to you. What did you think about the fight, and give us your thoughts here?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm one of the few people on the planet that spent 15 minutes locked in a cage with Cesar.
Exactly.
You know, right before. The Cesar fight, the Cesar Fajay you guys are seeing now isn't the one that I trained for. Right before I fought him, he changed his game completely. He switched training camps, went to this very eluding style where he avoids, and then shoots glass doubles. And people are starting to figure that out now. Unfortunately for me, I trained for the Cesar that everyone else had seen before, the one that wanted to stand and bang and push forward, and that's just not the guy that he is anymore, which is fine. But I scored the fight for Cesar. I thought that he did enough to win the fight, and that, you know, and I do think that there probably was a little bit of a home crowd advantage, and I don't think that that's saying that the judges scored rounds for Elias because he's from there. I do think that every time Elias did anything at all that was remotely offensive, that the crowd went crazy, and I think that does sway people. It does make it seem as if there is more damage being done. I had Cesar winning the first round and the third, personally, but either way, I can't argue with the decision because the fight was that close. If you leave a fight that close, you can't really argue a decision loss. You know, I would have said the same thing had Cesar won. I would have said that fight was close, and I wouldn't have been mad if it went the other way.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very close fight. And Showtime, we're going to come to you. Maybe because I don't want to think that the bias is there, but we've heard this on many accounts, right, Showtime, that, you know, the judges are getting swayed by the crowd noise and yada, yada, yada. And Joe Rogan has said on his podcast, I hate to keep referencing Joe Rogan, but it's just one of the podcasts that I listen to, and he's very knowledgeable about the sport. I mean, geez, he's been in it forever. And he says that they should be locked in a room, you know, somewhere else, looking at the monitors. What do you think about that? First of all, let's get your thoughts on the fight. Second of all, what do you think about what Anthony said there? And, you know, maybe the crowd did sway the decision.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes they may do it subconsciously with you know, being persuaded a little bit by, you know, the crowd. And, you know, when the local guy, you know, scores any kind of way, you'll hear the reaction of the crowd. But I had it real close. I thought that Cesar won as well. You know, with me being the betting man, I took him on some parlays. I thought he won. But at the same time, I wasn't mad with the decision. You know, sometimes when you're fighting the guy on his own turf, you got to stop him, or you have to basically just dominate the fight. And I don't think he did it. And I agree with Anthony, too. This not the guy that, you know, we became accustomed to watching fight. And I thought he could have been a little bit more active in a couple of instances. But it's hard for us to just, you know, get on a fighter when we hadn't gotten that octagon, basically, and went three rounds. So, you know, we can just say it from an outside perspective. But, you know, I wasn't mad with the decision. You know, it was a close fight, but I did have Cesar win it.
I
think as far as what you mentioned,
go ahead, Moody, please.
I wanted to touch base. You said the judges should be put somewhere separate. I would be all for that. I think it's very telling that if you look at what the IKF does with their fight reviews, you know, they send the tapes out to independent judges with no sound. So there's no commentating, there's no crowd reaction, and that's what they base ultimately the decisions on. And they've actually had championships overturned with that process. So I don't know why we've never made that step in MMA to unify a federation where things can be overturned, things can be reviewed, unless it's just a fighter appeal. But it's a different process. It's not going out internationally to have judges review it. But I don't think that anyone would be against if you have judges and they know what to look for, and we did so much with the criteria this year, you know, why not take that extra step to remove them from the element of being swayed by the crowd or being swayed by anything else that's around them?
As anybody who
I'll jump in on that.
This show
I'll jump in on
know.
That real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
You know, I do agree that I do think the judges need to be – there needs to be steps taken so that they aren't, you know, right there with the crowd as they're screaming and hollering and being – really, they're just being distractions. I don't know if I completely agree with doing something similar as IKF as far as being able to overturn decisions or championships or whatever, because you got to remember, there's so many different disciplines within MMA. Obviously, there's boxing, kickboxing, wrestling, judo, jiu-jitsu. You know, it's got everything. So you put three judges cage side or wherever in a room separately from the fight, and they're judging the fight. That's three judges that are from three different places probably. So I watch a fight differently than, say, my jiu-jitsu coach is going to watch it. And he may score some of those exchanges much differently than I would have. So if you're going to take that tape and you're going to take it without sound to three other people, you're going to get – ultimately you're going to have six different people with probably six different things that they're looking for. And I think stuff gets really muddy if you do that. I think that just taking them, even as far as putting sound canceling headphones on so that they can't really just hear it in their ears the whole time, I think even that would be better than what they're doing now.
Pam, would you like to weigh in?
Let me see how to word this correctly. If you've got three judges, and how do you have some judges that the scores are so completely different? How do you get them to be I lost my train of thought. More unified to look for the same things, because, you know, we were looking at some fights last night. Like, I agree that it wasn't, one of the rounds was not a 30-27 round. And so, and how do you rectify that?
Well, I don't think you do. I think the beauty in the sport is that no one's going to look at the fight the same way. They're going to, you know, it really depends on like the new rule set that they just came out with, as far as Big John kind of changing what judges are supposed to be looking at. I think that took a big step. Now, all the states aren't exactly adhering to those changes. But I think that that's what makes our sport so beautiful, because in boxing, it's very clear and cut what the judges are supposed to be looking for, and they fuck up decisions all the time, way more than they see in the UFC. So I don't think that clearing that up is going to make it any better. I think that the beauty is that you really, at the championship level, you really get the best guys out there, because they have to win over all the judges, whether you're a judge that's wrestling heavy or striking heavy or defensive heavy or whatever that may be. I think you really end up getting the guys that are really the best, because they have to make sure that they're dominating in all those areas, whether it's defensive wrestling, offensive, you know, whether you're a striker who is a counter fighter, or, you know, an offensive banger like your Hector Lombards versus your Stephen Thompsons.
It's always good to get an educated fighter's opinion, because a lot of things that we're hearing nowadays is that these fighters are saying, well, I didn't know about it. Showtime, let's throw it to you, though. Let's get your thoughts on, because everybody's been speaking about it, and I'll just let you guys run with it. So what are your thoughts on this topic?
You know what? I see it both ways, man. My major take on it is the crowd screaming. If it was just some kind of way that they could possibly mute that out. Because I think if you go to Brazil and you fight, you know, those crowds over there could be rowdy. So every time the Brazilian fighter does something, the crowd is going to go crazy. This is, I guess, a good comparison. I watched the Adrian Broner fight Saturday night, and it was kind of a situation like that too, where the decision was kind of iffy. A lot of guys saying that the other gentleman won, but, you know, the fight was in Broner's backyard, so, and he was the promoter, so that, you know, in a case like that, it's kind of that's kind of iffy. I don't, you know, let me get your guys take. That's why I brought that up, of a fighter being a promoter. I mean, that's something we can talk about later on. I just wanted to throw that out there. That's kind of iffy.
Well, let's throw it right now. You know, let's throw it to the only fighter that's on the line right now, Anthony. What do you think about that?
You know, at a high level like that, it's tough, man. It really depends on the situation. You know, if there's in the MMA world, there's a lot of promoters that are fighters. You know, even these days, look at Ray Sefo. You know what I mean? Like, that dude still wants to fight, and he still is promoting fights. So, like, you know, it's tough. Like, there's a guy named Brian Green. I fought him in Bellator. He was a Des Moines guy. He fought Kimbo Slice at one point in time. And he promoted, just as of recently, he promoted a show in Des Moines, Iowa, and he fought in the main event and lost the decision. I think that it can be done as long as the lines are very clear. And that's easy to do in MMA because, the promoters don't hire the judges. They don't hire the refs. And I'm not that well versed in how the backdoor dealings happen in boxing. I don't know how that works. But in MMA, the judges and the refs are chosen by the commission. So I don't see any real problem. If you want to fight in your own show in an MMA fight, I don't see that being a problem. You know, as long as it's done correctly through a commission, and I don't see a problem with that. And in boxing, I think that's a whole nother problem, just because of there's already those underlying concerns with some shady dealings with boxing. So I do think that that is a little weird. I honestly don't really have an opinion on it, to be honest with you. I don't see a problem with it. I do think that if a promoter really wants to fight, I would be very hard pressed to believe that they're going to bring in someone who's actually competitive. You don't see too many promoters bringing in guys that are going to kick their ass. That's just not, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't that become a conflict of interest? Doesn't that become a conflict of interest? Yeah.
It might. So, Moody, you want to
weigh in? Think so.
Why?
And I'm only speaking strictly from an MMA perspective because that's what I know. I don't see the conflict of interest there. As long as everyone's getting paid, the other fighter agreed to his paid amount. That amount is written on a contract that's sent through the athletic commission for someone else to approve. And the Nebraska athletic commissioner here in Nebraska is one of my really close friends. And, you know, they go through a really it's not like you just put a name on a contract, hand it in, and the commissioner signs it, and you're good to go. Like, he researches each fighter to make sure that this is a fair fight, that no one's being taken advantage of. It's not you're not going to get a promoter that's 10-0 that's going to match himself up with a guy that's 1-7, and that's just going to fly. Like, that's not how it works. And Brian Dunn is actually on the ABC board that just came out with the new rules. So I can't imagine that all the other commissioners don't do something similar. So I just figure as long as the guy that's fighting the promoter understands he is fighting the promoter of the show, you know, that his pay is contracted, he gets his money, he goes in there and fights, and as I said, the judges and the refs are you know, neutral bystanders that are hired by the commission and not by the promoter, I don't see any real conflict there.
But it's only a problem when there's a problem. I mean, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned Ray Sefo. I mean, he fought. He stepped up to fight Dave Huckabee. You look at Chael Sonnen with Submission Underground. You know, when someone goes off his card and he can go in and grapple, then he's able to do that. You know, the only time you're really going to have an issue is when people can go look at something controversial and say, well, maybe the reason this went this way is because he's the promoter. The same way, honestly, we're sitting here having this discussion that maybe the only reason, you know, Theodore won is because he was Canadian. So I don't think it really imposes as much as a burden as we think it would until, like you said, you've got this happening in boxing all the time. But I think one of the important things Anthony alluded to is sometimes I think, even as a fan, I think it's a lot more simple than it is. There's a lot of red tape, you know, more than the McGregor-Mayweather fight. You can't have someone that's never boxed come in and fight one of the greatest boxers ever. It doesn't work that way. You know, somebody could want to fight Anthony tomorrow. They can't just sign up for the UFC and go fight. It doesn't work this way anymore. It's not 20 years ago. So there's so much more to it in these fights and these agreements that the unbiasedness is already there, regardless of who's actually promoting the event. A lot of times the promotion of the event ultimately just comes down to who's fronting the money to run the radio ads or to make the posters or to promote the event. So I don't foresee this being that big of an issue. And I would also think that later on, as fighters, you know, age, you know, as these big names start to turn, that they may go locally and start to have their own promotions. You may have like a Randy Couture running a local promotion. There's a lot of local promotions that do very well. I wouldn't be surprised if what we've seen with Chael starts to be a mold followed by other fighters, where they use their legacy to get younger fighters, to get promotions going, and continue their revenue for years to come.
Okay, guys, I this is a very interesting topic, but we've got to move on because we're pressed for time. Some of us have a hard out. So let's move on to the next fight on this card. Moving up to Sam Cecilia versus Gavin Tucker. And, of course, a lot of us were like, who's Gavin Tucker? You know? But, I mean, hey, I picked him. I'm going to be honest with you. I picked him in my picks, and I'm glad I picked him. And it was an excellent fight. And I believe it's time for us to start with Anthony on this full room that we have right now, because there's so many of you in the room right now, it's hard for me to keep track of who started last because we had such a long conversation about the judging. I just want to weigh in real quickly. I always, as people from that listen to this show know, I listen to or I watch all of the UFCs without the sound on, and if we have time at the end, I want to get everybody to weigh in on the new team that was introduced to us today, but I don't think we're going to have time for that. So I think that listening or watching the fights without the sound, without the commentary, without the crowd reaction is a good way to do things. So let's move on quickly to Sam Cecilia versus Gavin Tucker. Let's throw to Anthony. Give us your thoughts on this fight. Break it down for us. Go.
Yeah, really, this one's really simple for me. I think Gavin Tucker really, he really raised his star. You know, I honestly didn't know who he was. I did know that a debuter coming in to fight Sam Cecilia is super ballsy, especially doing it on a main card and, you know, in your hometown. That's crazy. But I was really impressed. He looked great. His footwork was great. His movement was great. I just left the gym for practice, and we were talking about him over all else. You know, so it's pretty simple. I was really impressed, and I think that he's got a bright future ahead of him. He reminded me of like a TJ Dillashaw, the way he was moving, the switch in his feet to uppercuts. He just looked great, man. And I don't know if you guys listened to his post fight press conference, but the guy's got a personality. He's fun to listen to. He talks well. He carries himself respectfully. I like him. So.
Yeah, and that's what you got to have be the full package now, right? Showtime. This is what we're seeing a lot nowadays. Is you really need to be the full package. Not only do you need to be the full package inside the cage, but you need to be the full package outside of the cage. You need to be able to call someone out, and then you need to do and handle the press conference. So, Showtime, let's throw it to you real quickly, and then we'll go to Moody, then we'll go to Pam, because we got a full room. What did you guys think about this fight? Showtime.
Man, this young man was amazing. I was thinking the same thing when I was watching it. I'm like, okay, is this Garbrandt? Is this TJ? I mean, he looked like a mixture of both of them. And then he had the cockiness, you know, at the same time. But he was, you know, he was powerful. And really, Cecilia, he never really could get his game going. I mean, he couldn't get off. I mean, you could basically tell the difference in hand speed and how quick the guy was and how good his footwork was. But I was just as impressed with him after the fight, with him being charismatic, you know, and being able to, you know, to give a good post-fight interview. So he's a good prospect that I'm most definitely very, very impressed with, you know, with that being his first fight.
Well, like you guys said, I mean, this is a guy that didn't get an easy draw. You know, this guy, you know, Cecilia's had 10 fights in the UFC. He's been there for a handful of years. Not the ideal situation to go into. But as you mentioned, totally took him out of his game. Very unorthodox with his movements. Very crisp with his striking. I was really impressed with him. And again, somebody coming in I did not know a lot about, but definitely made a positive impression. One thing I took from this fight was the announcing, in my opinion, when they were reading the decision. Something that is really never done in the UFC because of buffer is to prelude whatever the decision was. And in this case, he said, and still undefeated. Well, as soon as you say that, we know who won. It was strange to me that the UFC, which is very status quo, with just read the name, don't read anything else. There was another fight that they did this as well, essentially gave away the verdict, you know, gave away the decision based on the cliff note that they were reading along.
Yeah, they did that with Elias.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
They did, yeah. You're right. Go ahead, Pam. Mm-hmm. You just talk. You're next.
Oh, to me, I had picked Cecilia only because I couldn't find any information on Tucker. I mean, nothing. The only thing that I found on Gavin Tucker was that he had 4 first-round finishes, 4 by KO, 4 by submission. I had no information, but when he came out, it seems like all these up-and-comers are taking a page out of the Dominic Cruz footwork book because, you know, you got to progress. And I guess that type of footwork is, you know, it's what you got to do. You got to keep them guessing. And, I mean, he just shut Cecilia down.
Yeah, again, I think it was kind of an old school versus new school. I mean, and the new school is just transforming so fast. And of course, Pam, if you want to get any more information on the underground scene in Canada, please follow at Lynch on Sports, because that man is a hard worker, and he's on the Canadian scene like crazy. So let's, again, guys, we're up against the clock. So let's move on to the next fight. Excuse me. And it's, of course, Hendricks versus Lombard. And, of course, Johnny Hendricks moving up in weight. And, of course, Hector Lombard in his second fight is new weight as well. Guys, I've been saying this for a while, and this show, and I think we've all been saying it, is that Johnny, just give your head a shake and move up to 185. And of course, he comes out and says, you know, this is the best I've ever felt. This is the best I've performed, blah, blah, yada, yada. I could actually see Showtime. We've been saying this for years, but go ahead and give us your thought on the fight, and then, you know, give us a little comment to what I was talking about.
I thought Johnny looked okay. He looked a little, you know, I had to sit there and look at him, you know, being a little bit bigger, you know, than he normally would be. I had to sit there and really just look and be like, okay, this not the big rig that I'm used to seeing. But, you know, I think he picked the perfect opponent. I think, you know, Hector pretty much played into, you know, what Johnny wanted to do. I mean,
yeah,
you know, with throwing the knees, that was a little bit unusual to see, you know, see Johnny doing that. But, you know, he looked okay. I just wonder how, you know, how he'll fare when he goes against, you know, a 6'1", 6'2 fighter. You know, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It was a pretty good fight, though. I mean, I think that fight could have went either way, too. I think it was a little bit closer than what people thought. We had a couple guys that, I guess, were big Hector fans to say that he got ripped off, but I just thought he wasn't as active in the third as Johnny, you know. Those two guys I want to keep an eye on, both of them moving up, though, you know, to see how they'll be able to handle it. Especially when they go up against different competition.
Absolutely, and it just sounded like you were a little bit underwater there for a minute. Showtime, let's sort of moody. Ryan, what did you think about this fight, and what do you think about these guys moving forward? Like Showtime said, it's going to be very interesting to see either of these two guys against, you know, someone that is bigger than them in this division.
Well, Yeah, I mean, kind of, in my opinion, this was kind of a pointless fight for the division. You know, I think you've got 7 versus 8 there, 7 versus 10. I'm not sure. But the problem being that, you know, Hector Lombard is now on a 3-fight skid. I believe they gave Johnny Hendricks a belt just for making weight, which is great. To me, if a fighter can't make weight, you know, the reward shouldn't be, you know, moving up a weight class. I don't understand that. This is your job. This is what you're supposed to do. It shouldn't be a joke. It shouldn't be funny. It shouldn't be cute. Make the weight, make the fight, and go about your day. That's your business. So the fact that he almost gets rewarded with this fight, to me, is a bit asinine. As far as Lombard, you know, overall he looked slow. He looked labored. He looked tired. Yes, this is the Johnny Hendricks we're kind of more used to seeing, but, you know, you get him in there, like you guys said, against somebody taller, and I have someone in mind that would be a little bit taller. I just don't know how good he's going to look. This to me, was two guys on kind of their last gasp, whether people want to admit that or not, that had a drawn-out, boring fight that just looked lazy. And, you know, to me, not exactly what I was looking for in co-main.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, though. I mean, how much were we expecting from this fight? I mean, Johnny Hendricks moving up because he can't make weight ever at 170 anymore. And Hector Lombard, who needs to move up to 185 because maybe he doesn't have those non-on-it supplements anymore. So let's move to Pam. Give us your thoughts on the fight and, yeah, break it down. Give us a lowdown if everybody hasn't taken all those things you needed to say up to this point.
Okay, well, I think Johnny Hendricks is at a corundum right now because he's kind of like Gastelum. He's too big for 170 and too small for 185.
Yeah.
You know, his last KO victory was in November of 2012, so he doesn't possess that knockout power anymore. You know, Hector Lombard was coming off of 2 losses in a row by TKO. And, you know, in truth, with Hector Lombard being a judoka and Johnny Hendricks with his wrestling background, I really, really, really expected more grappling and more going down to the ground. And, you know, I've never really been a Hendricks fan because I always thought he was such a whiner. But I was actually glad that he won this fight. Hector Lombard, I think he just looks so stiff and so tight, and he just lacked fluidity and movement. But, I don't know how he's going to fare against the bigger guys, the bigger, taller guys. Did he look good at 185? He looked a lot better than he did at 170. But I don't know where his career goes from here because, like I said, he lacks the KO power that he used to have, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Anthony, I'm not going to throw to you on this fight unless you have something that everybody else hasn't said because we're pressed for time and I want to get to the last fight. So I'll open up to you, Anthony, if you have anything to add to that. If not, we'll move on to Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown.
Yeah, I can, real quick. I think that what now no one has said is we're looking at two guys that are post-USADA. They're two guys who are shells of their former selves, but Johnny Hendricks looks like shit. He's slow. He looks like a fat guy that should be farming. They both look terrible, and they both look like it looked like one was afraid and the other one was happy that he was. They both knew that they had, you know, that they have the quote unquote knockout power that they had before USADA, and neither one of them wanted to engage. And you know, I would jump at the opportunity to welcome them to a real middleweight instead of two welterweights moving up because they're too fat.
Ooh, not a boy.
Us guys up here in middleweight, I'm 6'4". What is Johnny Hendricks going to do to me besides stand on the outside and get punched? You know what I mean? It's a different world up here. And we're, you know, there's guys like me that are younger, faster, stronger, and we've been clean our whole career. And I don't care what anybody says. If you take a picture or a video of Johnny Hendricks pre-USADA and then compare it now, you will see two completely different people. Mm-hmm. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, on this show, Anthony, we like to refer to that as non-onnit supplements because we were calling it the Mexican supplements before. And Tony had
hey,
a
why,
with
why
that.
Do they got to be Mexican?
The non-onnit supplements. That's what I said. Tony had an issue with it, so we changed it. Mm-hmm. Pay attention, Pam. Okay, anyways, let's move on to the next fight on this card. We've got about 10 minutes to talk about this card, so I hope everybody I'm going to get everybody who needs to get off this call in 10 minutes to weigh in first. So let's start with you, Ryan. Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown, and then we'll move to Pam because I know that you're time-pressed as well. Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown, great fight. So go ahead, Ryan. You start us off.
When was the last time we saw somebody take a shot to the body like that, recover, and then absolutely just go after and demolish somebody? I mean, Derek Lewis, you know, is there a more fitting name right now in the heavyweight division? Because he really just showed that he has the ability to take damage and to come back and walk through it. I mean, I don't know who to be more proud of, him for overcoming it, or, you know, am I, like, proud that Travis Brown is so lame that he couldn't, you know, jump on that moment of a damaged fighter? The other thing to me, like, the biggest thing I had out of this was, you know, I don't know what Mario Yamasaki is doing. I don't know what he's looking for. But, I mean, I could have stopped that fight from my house faster than he did. I mean, I don't like Travis Brown at all. I just, as a person, as a fighter, I don't even like how he spells his last name with an E. Right? There's nothing that I like about this guy. But I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't want to see anybody get hurt in there. And honestly, that is how you get hurt, just repeatedly getting punched in the face, not even beginning to defend yourself. But to me, you know, this is a strange ending to a fight where you have Lewis, who seems like his star may be at the pinnacle, and afterwards says that he wants to take time off because this is such a stress on his family, and I think that's not mentioned with fighters a lot. And then you have, you know, Travis Brown, who probably got a call from Scott Coker today, if he remembers his name, that's, you know, lost, I don't know, what, 6 of the last 8? You know, 2 wins since 2014. So to me, it really is, you know, one shot going way up, but then a strange plateau where, you know, he needs to take time off, and another stock just continuing to drop in Travis Brown. And hopefully him and Ronda, you know, can deal with being knocked out together for a while and ride off into the sunset, because I don't think there's much place for either one of them in this sport anymore.
Well, as GSP has noted, I mean, the dark place is very relevant, right? So we know that at the top, there are some very dark places. So, Pam, I know that you're pressed for time as well, so let's get you to weigh in on this fight.
Yeah, First of all, Mario should change his last name to Mazzagatti, so it should be Mario Mazzagatti. I had picked Derek Lewis, and the reason I picked him, first of all, I just think he has more power than Travis Brown. And the reason I did not pick Travis Brown was because he's still training with, what's the guy, Tar, whatever his name, you know who I'm talking about, that doesn't know how to box for shit and can't coach boxing for doo-doo. And there you saw it. But, you know, for the Black Beast to take that punishment to the body and Brown not to take advantage of it, I was just, I'm trying not to say bad words, but I'm like, what the fuck, man, dude. So I was glad that he got his ass beat. And then I loved the after speech when he said, he's not a man, he beats women. And then, oh my gosh, and then his, I got to go number two. He's the crazy dude. He's a riot. And I'm glad that he won. And, you know, hopefully Mr. and Mrs. Rousey can go someplace and just be happy together, you know?
Absolutely. Let's hope they fade away. So let's go to Showtime because we need you to weigh in as well. And I was going to say this guy's from Tennessee, but he's not. He's training in Texas. But so let's get you to weigh in on the Derek Lewis fight. And like everybody's been saying, he took so much punishment to the body, right? I mean, those shots were so hard. Those kicks were so hard to the body. You could see him, even after the fight, after he won, after he did his celebration, you could see the pain, and he lied down in the cage. I'll throw it to you. Showtime.
I just thought it was amazing because I was worried when he took that first kick and he grabbed his side, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the same thing. Okay, will Travis go into attack mode? But it seemed like, I don't know, Travis was, I don't know if he was respecting that power, why he just didn't charge in. I don't know if that was part of their game plan. If you get him hurt, be real careful, you know, because he's so powerful. But, you know, once he basically was able to get away and he kind of ran, you know, he ran away and ran toward the fence and, he had his back to Travis. I'm like, wow, you know. And I mean, it just showed, I guess, intestinal fortitude. I mean, that's the only thing that I can say. You know, I played college football, and I know what it feels like to get hurt, get your shoulder separated, you know, and still be able to, you know, to make a play and stay in the game. And yeah, I guess if people, you know, if you've never been hurt like that, I've had bruised ribs where I couldn't breathe, and you know, for this guy to still fight, I mean. Was he hurt? Has anybody found out anything? Did he have a broke rib or a bruised kidney or anything? Mm-hmm. Or
he said it was a boo-boo and had to go number two.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was an amazing fight, man.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I mean, it was just an amazing fight, man. I kind of felt, you know, I met Travis before. I mean, you know, he was – you know, nice to me, but I'm just wondering how many times in history has a couple both been knocked out in their last two fights? And I'm going to pass it to Anthony.
Not very often. I think we're all kind of reveling in the fact of that, but let's move on to Anthony, who has actually taken some of these kicks to the body. Give us your thoughts on this fight real quickly, because I want to get Moody to weigh in one more thing. So, as swift as possible, please.
All right. Man, to be honest with you, the last time that I was so excited during the fight that I was jumping around, like, you know, as close to the TV as I could get, I can't even remember, man. I've been doing this shit a long time. I've been around the sport a long time. And I can't remember the last time I did that. But, my fiance's sleeping on the couch, and I'm jumping up and down in the living room like a goddamn idiot. I'm a big fan of Derek Lewis, man. I cut weight with him during the UFC 200 fight week, which is amazing in itself. I mean, the dude cuts from like 300 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, he's struggling as hard as I am to make heavyweight. You know, like, that's crazy. But, you know, to take a shot, I was explaining it to Ryan last night. on the phone after the fight card. When you get hit in the body like that, it's not like it's a kidney shot. It's your body goes into an automatic protection mode. You want to curl up on a little ball and just hide on the ground. It's some of the worst pain I've ever felt in my whole life. So the fact that he was still able to be on his feet after that is amazing. And then to push through it, you know, and it's funny, he cracked the jokes about having to go boo-boo, you know what I mean? But, like, I mean, to visibly be that hurt and still have Travis Brown so scared that he won't come in and try to finish you is amazing. That dude, Derek Lewis is my favorite fighter right now, just for that simple fact, you know what I mean? And the dude's funny. He's way funny. Like, talking about he needs a break from sex and treating his coaches and manager like his side chick, like, don't call me. You know what I mean? Like, who says that kind of stuff? You know, it's just funny, man. He's a good dude, man. I spent some time around him. He's a real cool cat. And any man that can take a shot like that to the body over and over and stay on his feet and end up winning is a dude that I'll tip my hat to any chance I get.
Okay, so let's unless anybody has anything else to say about this fight, anybody weigh in right now? No. Okay.
It was awesome.
So, yes, it was very fantastic, and as you guys all have said, it was. I mean, I was on pins and needles too. I mean, when he got that kick to the body, the multiple kick to the bodies, because he was trying to protect it. Lewis was. He was trying to protect it, and he managed to protect it. He managed to protect it. I mean, Brown still kicked him in it, but it was more of a front kick after that. It was amazing. It was a good fight. I mean, and now we've got, you know, Derek is what on? It's five wins now, five win streak. Like, that's fantastic for him. And, you know, six. Yes, thank you very much for correcting me. I could only see five on the UFC page before I expanded it. Very good for him, and he can only go, the sky's the limit. Okay, I know, Moody, we got to get you out of here. So I'm gonna ask you this one question, and then we're going to get you out of here on this. Of course, Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown was fight of the night. So, you know, both guys getting paid very well for that fight. So, huh?
Was it really?
Are you talking to me, Pam? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that because really?
Yeah, it says it on the website, but I got to get Moody out of here. So let's move on to Moody real quick. So Moody, if you had a fight that was not on the main card, that was your, you know, fight of the night or something that you, a story that came out that was something that would, you know, impacted you coming out of these prelims, if you got one, let's go for it. Spit it out now and then we'll let you go and I'll play your music out. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my big one was going to be Randa Marcos and Carlos Esparza. And this is one of those fights, like we talked about before, seemed like it was going to be really one-sided. I personally expected a lot coming back from Carla. You know, she's made some claims about the UFC not getting her fights. She's made some claims about being not given the fights that she wanted. This, to me, would be the fight that she did want. I mean, you're going in against not a big draw, and, you know, she does have the loss to Joanna, which so many people do, but she did have the win over Rose. So, you know, she was trying to reestablish herself, admittedly, in the division with a dominant win over a lesser opponent. And Randa Marcos basically, in my opinion, took her game away from her. And even though it was a split decision, I felt like it could have went a lot more of Marcos's way than it did. I was really impressed with her performance. And to me, not only was it the upset of the night, it really was, of all the fights, what I expected the least to have happen.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ryan. I'm going to get you out. I'm going to play you out right now. You have yourself a good rest of your night. Cheers. All right. Ryan's out of here. So let's move on to Pam. I know that, Pam, you're very, very short on time as well. So spotlight fight of the night for you as well, please. Something that's not on the main.
My spotlight fight was the Marshman Santos fight.
Mm.
And that was, I absolutely loved that fight. I mean, it was from start to finish, pure action. I loved it.
Well, the Pam, as always, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your time. And, of course, as everyone knows, Pam is from – and if you don't know, if you're a new listener, Pam is on our Smack My Picks Up edition show of AMP Radio, which is broadcasted live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So tune in for that because, you know, Pam is the life of the party. So let's play you out, Pam.
Thank you. Catch up with y'all Wednesday. It was nice talking to y'all. Have a good evening.
Yeah, talk to you later. We'll
all right,
up
bye.
Your
I will. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so the rest of the people that are on the line, of course, of Showtime and Anthony Smith. And Anthony, I have a very personal question that I wanted to ask you at the end. So I'm going to let Showtime go first, if that's okay with you, because Moody brought up something about stress on family, and as a fighter, I would like to ask you about that. And I know you have a family, so I'm going to go to Showtime from Tennessee real quick to end. Ask him about his spotlight fight of the night that was not on the main card. Showtime, do you have one for me?
You know what? I was going to say the same fight, the Randa Marcos.
Esparza Marcos?
Esparza fight. That's what I was going to say.
It was a good fight.
With the heat. Yeah. Yeah, real good fight. I mean, it could have went either way, too. I kind of like Marco's strategy of staying away. And, you know, they were saying she had changed camps and she kind of had the wide stance and was keeping Carla from taking her down. And, you know, that was a pretty good fight.
Yeah, no, and I thought at the end of the round of the second round where Marcos was really dominant and she really hit some big shots, really affected Esparza. And, I mean, that was really the tail of the tape on that fight. I mean, after the end of the second round, Esparza was not really the same. And I thought the strategy by Marcos was a little concerning because, you know, I mean, she's got her chin right out there. You know what I mean? She really did. She had her chin right out there. And I was very concerned that she was going to get clipped. But she, like Angela Hill, showed that she's got a chin. And Showtime, let's end on this. And if you've got anything to say on the outro, just please do it before I play your music out.
All right. Anthony, man, it was a pleasure being on the line with you, man. You're a very, very humble, hungry guy, man. And much success to you, brother.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
All righty, man. Well, it was a pleasure, man. You got no way to hold up.
All right, Showtime. I thank you very much. And,
of course,
as I was saying at the top of the show, there will be no the Proteus's primetime show on Thursday, so I wanted to get it as much of the primetime crew as I could. So I appreciate your time as always, and have a great night.
Okay, thank you, brother. You have one, too.
Thank you very much. And, Anthony, the one thing that when I told Showtime that you were going to be on the line, the first thing he said to me, he said, "Oh yeah, I know Anthony," and I'm sorry, I'm putting on the accent that Showtime does. he says, "Yeah, I know Anthony. He's a great fighter, it would be a pleasure to be on the line with him, just like he said to you on the outro." So I just wanted to say to that he knows who you are, and you know these MMA junkies, they are paying attention, and that's why I wanted to get you as much exposure on the show as possible, and I appreciate you doing the show.
No, I mean, I really enjoy doing this, man. I, like I said yesterday, I really like talking MMA, especially with people that are just as passionate about the sport as I am. I'm a fan more than anything, you know. That's why me and Moody get along so well, and we talk so often, man. We have good conversation, and I really enjoyed Showtime, man. He was a lot of fun.
Well, okay, so let's get you out on this. And of course, I don't have any entrance music for you yet. We're going to have to get that for you moving forward because I feel like you're going to be on the show a lot more. But let's get you spotlight fight of the night that was not on the main card. And it's okay to choose one that everyone else has chosen because that just says that, you know, it was a great fight. So we'll throw it to you. Spotlight fight of the night.
You know, I didn't watch a whole lot of the prelims, but I do think that the Jack Marshman fight, I think that this card was a big night for middleweights. So, of course, it's, you know, I'm going to watch really closely for potential opponents. But I think that Jack Marshman is he's coming out of Wales, which is, you know, over there in Europe, they got the MMA scene is booming. So I already knew who he was before he was in the UFC. So I kind of unfortunate at the end with him feeling like he kind of got robbed a little bit, but I think that was a big fight. I do, at least for the middleweight division, especially in the UFC in the London, UK area and potentially moving into Wales.
All right. Well, I was just looking for a good song for you. So to play you out on, but I don't know what you're into. So I'm just going to play something that you probably won't like. So let's go with this. Thank you very much, Anthony. Have a great night, and I hope to speak with you again soon. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. I look forward to being on the show.
Thank you very much. And again, Anthony can be followed at Lionheart Smith. Anthony Smith, he is a surging middleweight. So you guys get into him, follow him on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever he is on. You know how to do it. Get into Google. Thanks, Anthony. Have a good night.
Thanks, man. Bye.
All right, guys, that does it for me. I am going to leave you here. I'm going to look for a song to end the show with. But again, we have on Wednesday, we are going to do a Smack My Picks Up edition of Amp Radio with, of course, Marco from Waco Brothers. You know how it goes. And of course, Pam from North Carolina. The American woman herself, Pam from North Carolina. So we're probably going to do Bellator. I mean, let's be honest. There's not much coming up. The next show is Bellator Shore McGeary versus Filipovic. I feel like Joe Rogan all of a sudden. We'll probably get into that and, you know, kind of discuss. We'll probably discuss some of the pertinent issues of the week, because I don't know how much we could talk on Bellator. But Bellator, I am not hating. Let's just be honest. I'm not hating. We love to love you, baby. Oh, if I could fight Matt right now, that'd be awesome. But I don't think I can. Anyways, stay tuned. We will be having the MMA Minute coming back. I'm sure Tony's going to be doing that more regularly. It's just, you know, his life is getting in the way right now. And I know he loves to do that for you and to also pay attention. Like I said, Smack My Picks Up edition of... I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. And just like that,
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Love you all. Thanks for listening. Cheers.